Excuse me, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am glad you were joining me today because I have Michael Young. He's an embedded journalist that has been shedding the light on the migrants, the illegal immigrants flooding our nation. And he spends a great deal of time in the Darien Gap, and he shares a lot of information with us on this show. The man has traveled the world. He has seen a lot, and he's going to get into all the things that he has been noticing and seeing, including a possible food shortage. So all that's coming up on today's show. So like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. Find me on those locations. But you guys have to go see the General Flynn movie. The links are in the description. Or if you go to theambermayshow.com, hit the promo button, you're going to find links to the General Flynn movie. It is phenomenal. He names names. Everyone needs to go see this film. So check out the links below to find the film, or go to theambermayshow.com at the promo section and you can catch the film there. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Michael Young to the program. Like I told you, I have Michael Young joining us today. I am so excited about this interview. I am so excited to be talking to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Amber. I just left Canada and came over to Japan because they're facing the same sort of invasion that Canada is facing, that the United States is facing, that Europe, and a lot of people don't realize that Japan is actually being attacked as well. And yesterday I spoke in front of some congressmen and senators here, Japanese, in the Diet. Their Diet is their parliament. They call it the Diet. And so just like, you know, diet bars or something, you know, they call it the Diet. So anyway, I was invited over there, and Misako Ganaha, the famous Japanese journalist, actually was speaking, and as were some others, and she invited me. So I spoke for a bit, and we talked about this. We talked about the weaponized migration. Some of the Japanese get it, mostly they don't. Just like even a lot of Americans, despite tens of millions who certainly have come through over time at this point, still don't get it that this is an actual war. This is not a crisis. You know, I mentioned this to at the Diet yesterday in Tokyo. Words are atomic structures of truth and untruth. It's really crucial that we choose accurate terms, right? Mm-hmm. If we choose the wrong terms, it's like choosing the wrong elements while trying to make water. If we want to make water, we need two hydrogens and one oxygen atom, right? Mm-hmm. H2O. If we have two oxygens, we'll have hydrogen peroxide, right? Mm-hmm. We'll have H2O2, right? So, I mean, we have to have the right words, and they have to be blended in the right proportion and then the right ways, right? And so this is a problem that we perpetually face because the highest form of warfare is information warfare. And what our enemies always attempt to do perpetually is seizing the words. The words are the high ground. For instance, calling it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's clearly a weapon. So then they back off and when some virologists and vaccinologists were saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't even meet the definition of vaccine. They're like, oh yeah, we kind of changed the definition of vaccine. So they did that for a while. You know, they changed the definition. Everybody got onto that pretty quickly. So then they said, okay, it's not actually a vaccine. It's an mRNA therapy, right? So people are like, okay, it's a therapy, right? So where's the evidence that it's a therapy? There is, it's not a therapy. It is obviously nakedly a weapon. It is a weapon, right? Call it what it is. It's absolutely vital, right? This goes back to out of the Bible and out of Confucius as well. I mean, everybody, our elders who were very intelligent realized we have to call things by what they are. We do not have a border crisis. It is not a crisis. We are being invaded. We are in a war. A crisis is something you get over. Nobody would go to a doctor who, you know, nobody wants to hear they have cancer. So, you know, your oncologist says, no, you don't have cancer. I know you don't want to hear that. Your family doesn't want to hear it. So you have a headache, right? You know, that's what a border crisis is. It also takes you away from the reality of it. Or calling these illegal immigrants. They're not immigrants. We are being invaded by invaders, right? You know, recently I saw Jordan Peterson do a long live stream on this with somebody, and they started off by choosing the wrong word. They used the word migrant and migration. So when you're coming to this path in the road on how we're going to discuss this thing, mm-hmm. they choose the path that said, let's discuss this as if it's a migration instead of an invasion and a war, because mm-hmm. these are two different trains of thought, right? So they go down here for an, I don't know, hour and a half talking about the migration, right? Mm-hmm. It's just completely false. You took the wrong road to start with. Listen, if you try to make water, instead of using hydrogen and oxygen, you use iron and oxygen, you will get rust, right? Mm-hmm. Ferrous oxide, right? You know, it's mm-hmm. hard to drink rust. You can't water the plants with rust, and you can't call this a migration or illegal migration or a border crisis or a vaccine or any of that stuff, and get to that first, the first elements were wrong. All else that mm-hmm. follows is wrong, period, right? And so we are being invaded. This is a war. The weapons that they've jabbed into people, the death jabs, are part of that war. Now, I'm in Tokyo for several reasons. One is the invasion has come here as well. In fact, yesterday I was, after going to the Diet and speaking to the members of the government here, I then went with Masako Gunaha to the United Nations University headquarters. It's huge. It's unbelievable. They got United Nations universities here, right? And our university headquarters here. You see what's going on. We're being hit with many different weapons. One is the pandemic treaty. The pandemic treaty is absolutely vital. It's vital to pay attention to, because this will take away all of your remaining rights that haven't already been taken because people didn't fight for their rights. Listen, anybody who's asking the government for rights, you don't ask for rights. You take them. You take them. That's how you get rights. You don't get rights by going, oh, can we have a right to leave our house? You know what I mean? Oh, we'll just take the vaccine, quote unquote, the death jab, and then we're able to fly. Listen to Jordan Peterson, for instance. He said on one of his interviews that he took the jab because he thought, you know, because they said if he takes the jab, you can travel, right?
Right.
And so he took
it's
the jab.
It's in the stick mentality.
The care, yeah, and then he took the jab. Now, this is a guy who's very smart. Mm-hmm. I've spent time with Jordan. He's super smart. He's a psychologist. He should have seen the trap. He didn't see the trap. Okay, get it. No problem. But he took the jab, and then he still was not able to travel. And he's like, what? I took it. Now leave me alone already. I'm like, do you get it? What? I mean, this is a weapon. And the highest form of war is information war. The mm-hmm. reason we have no border, the reason that the death jab was so successful in killing so many people so far and counting is information war. Information yes. war. Information war. Information war is the highest form of warfare. Information war is why we have the death jabs. It's why we have no border. It's why eventually we're going into global famines. That's clear. It's very obvious. It's something I've been studying and warning about now for 4 years straight, more than 4 years. I started warning about global famines in about January, February, March of 2020. By March, I was warning about them pretty much daily, I think. It's very clear that we're going into that. Now, that's a separate line of thought, but it's all related. The global famines that are clearly coming, that's a long flash to bang, you know, some famines have a quick flash to bang. Like, let's say you have a volcanic eruption, mm-hmm. And sometimes with volcanoes, famines caused by volcanoes sometimes can be pretty fast, actually. Mm-hmm. And sometimes famines caused by war can be fast or they can be slow. It depends on how the thing unfolds. But this one is a slow flash to bang. What's happening is conditions are being set for there just not being enough food, period. Normally in the past, when there's been famines, which there's been thousands of famines, mm-hmm. there's been easily as many famines as there have been wars, but there's not as many movies about them. There's not as mm-hmm. many books. And there, you know, as a war correspondent, I study pandemic, famine, and war for years, long before this so-called pandemic, right? Because pandemic and famine and war, they all go together. As I've been saying for years on interview, one time about 3 years ago, one of my readers said that I talk about pandemic, famine, war, pan for war, as if I made it up. And she said that on the interview. And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. And she said, no, it's in the Bible. It's the four horsemen. I'm like, eh, well.
And the Bible also talks about famines too.
Yeah.
And so I do want to say one thing, because when you hear the word famine and you know there's an attack on the farming industry across the world, fear comes up. And the Bible always says, do not fear. And I'm not saying not to prepare. I'm not telling you that, because even Joseph in the Bible was told to prepare by God. And he had to prepare for 7 years because there's going to be 7 years of famine. But I also want to just put in the back of your mind, too, that God will take care of us. But that being said, also, you know, do what you need to do to take care, you know, to prepare for something like that, just in case.
Famine, now, I want to talk about. You can prepare. Can I say something on famine?
Yeah, sure.
I've studied famine quite a lot. In fact, I did a previous trip to Japan studying famine here as an example, because there's been a lot of famines here. There are always people who see it coming, Joseph, right? There are always people who see it coming. One here, his name is Kenjiro in Japan. He saw some large famine coming back in the 1800s. He prepared for it. He prepared his people for it, and they had no problems. But a lot of other people starved to death, a huge mm-hmm. number. But none of his people did, right? So this is a pattern I see all over the world. I see there's always some subset who see it coming, and they either personally prepare, or they, you know, they say, the ones who see it coming, they don't say anything. We never hear about them because they vanished into history. But there are people who see it coming and they say something and they actually get people prepared, and their people tend to do quite good. Actually, they get through it. And then when it's all over, they're like, "Ooh, that was bad, but here we are." But there's a lot of other people that are dead. Right. And so you can prepare for it, especially when you see it coming. Right. And so it's very clear that we're going to go into that eventually. I'm sorry, I don't want to filibuster, but
no problem. But so I want to get to also. So that was news to me that Japan's being invaded. I know Europe's being invaded, and I'm glad you used the word war, because it popped into my brain this week that this is a war too. And I want to get your opinion, because I also want to get into why the Panama and the Darien Gap is so important, why we need to be looking at South America and Mexico. But I wanted to get your opinion on, do you think that the Ukrainian war is to get us off track so we're not looking at the invasion on the border? Because, you know, right now in Congress, they're debating on sending more money, more aid to Ukraine, more money to Israel. And then there was one other country, and not a word about it, to our own homeland that's, we're in a war too. We're being invaded, just like the North. No one talks about the North. So I do want to get into the North. But I also think, being a border state, for me, the Southern aspect really, really intrigues me, obviously, because it's right there in front of me. Do you think that it's a distraction, so we're not going to be looking at this war? Let's just focus and be angry at them sending more money to Ukraine. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's just a distraction. It's actually part of the war, and part of the war is quite distracting, right? But for instance, what this is about is, this is an oligarchical war. This is oligarchs fighting oligarchs, as are most wars, right? So it's not, this time it's not even country versus country. It's not Russia versus Ukraine. It's or Israelis versus Iranians per se. It's oligarchical structures fighting, which are quite large, right? You know, we're like, you know, Vanguard scale, BlackRock scale, you know, we're talking World Economic Forum and Chinese Communist Party, which is more like a fist. World Economic Forum is more like a multi-fingered hand, which has an amalgam of interest. They call them stakeholders, right? The stakeholders have various interests. So what the oligarchs are fighting for is always the same, really. It's energy. It's routes like Old Spice Road, Silk Road. It's BRI, Belt and Road Initiative, right? That's why I go to Netherlands so much and Panama so much. These are strategic areas that they wish to control.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, Spike Support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
Hey, I'm Christina Bob, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
So all you know out there that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or the shopping channel the way they used to. They've been a part of the big cancel culture going on, and they want to pass the savings right on to you directly. They're having a huge $25 extravaganza sale. So when Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product, and that was it. Well, since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products some of you may not even know about. To get the word out there, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillow, $25. Where are you going to find that deal? MyPillow sandals, $25. This is where it gets super good. I love the towel set. The six-piece towel set, $25. You can't even get that price at Walmart for a six-piece towel set. The towels are out of this world. Brand new four-pack dish towels, and you guessed it, just $25. And for the very first time, the premium MyPillow with the all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-957-2123. That's 1-800-957-2123 and use promo code AMBER. And when you do, you'll get free shipping on your entire order today. MyPillow.com, use promo code AMBER.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And are putting special effort into, for instance, let's talk about Netherlands. Rotterdam Harbor is in Netherlands. It's the biggest harbor in Europe, and it's one of the top 10 in the world. Just south of Rotterdam Harbor in the Netherlands is another harbor in Belgium, Antwerp. So the two biggest harbors in Europe, Antwerp and Belgium, are very close to each other. And those are two of the top 10 in the world. And so the railway from China that goes from Shanghai and many other feeders, I've been to the Chinese side. I spent about a year running around China. That railroad goes all the way across Asia through Europe and goes to Rotterdam, right? It's one of the reasons I go to Netherlands so much. And because the World Economic Forum and the Chinese Communist Party and their globalist marriage there are working hard to take the Netherlands and part of all of Europe, actually. But they're taking strategic areas first, of course. That's the military and the business way of doing things, right? And so Netherlands is important because of those two harbors and in the farmland and other reasons. And so they're working to make something called Tri-State City. Tri-State City, three-state city. Tri-State City is all of Netherlands, part of Germany, and part of Belgium. And they want to
that
make
sounds
this
like a union, like the European Union, like the North American Union. That's what that sounds like. Is that kind of the aim of that?
Sort of, but more ambitious, let's say. Tri-State City is meant to be a smart city. for 30 million people, right? Smart. Okay, again, we must use the accurate terms here. Smart city is a way to sell prison city. Mm-hmm. So they're working to build a prison city for 30 million people. These so-called smart cities, calling these smart cities is like calling the death jabs vaccine,
right,
or the invasion at the border a crisis.
Right.
Or the invaders, illegal immigrants. You know,
and for like, anyone who wants to deep dive into smart cities, I have a resource page on my website, theambermayshow.com. Hit the resource tab and look for the smart 15-minute cities. And I have a lot of information on there because, just like Michael said, it is nothing more than prison. It's a fancy, glorified prison. You can't do anything without Big Brother watching. He's going to know everything, be everything you can't. It's going to be like that. COVID was just the preamble to a smart city. They wanted to see how far they could get us. That vaccine passport was nothing more than a social credit score.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's, you know, we here in Japan now, again, I'm not on vacation. I don't do vacations, right? I'm here looking at the invasion of Japan. I'm looking at, I was at a pandemic treaty rally last week. Masako Ganaha was speaking, the famous Japanese journalist. She invited me. So there, it was only supposed to be for 300 or 400 people, right? But about 19,000 showed up.
Wow. Right?
So it was all over the news. People were sending it to me. Alex Jones sent it to, people were like, hey, you know, we're telling me about it, right? And they're like, did you know about this? I'm like, actually, you know, the live stream camera that you just sent me, it's right beside me. I know about it. I'm in it, right? And so yesterday we spent all day and the day before all day on I was in meetings where they're planning to make two more big protests in May. One will be on the 22nd and 23rd of May in Tokyo. Another one will be on the 31st of May in Tokyo, 2024, right? I will be at both. So as will Masako Ganaha and many others. I believe some people from the United States are coming. I'm not going to mention their names, but it's some names that you definitely know. And for 100%, everybody watching this knows their names. They may come, because I've been chatting with some people. And so I think it's going to be quite big. When the 19,000 people showed up last Saturday, so it's a week ago, everybody was stunned. Like when we showed up in the morning to be at the conference hall early, there was just a line that went down the road and over the hill. And we're like, is that to go to the thing today? You know? And it was. And so there was so many people, obviously they didn't fit. The conference hall was only big enough for 400 people, right? Which was packed. And I somehow managed to get a front row seat because I was invited. You know? And so, but the bottom line is I think the next one's going to be much larger because this one got attention around the world. The one, you remember that trucker convoy in Canada that the Canadians did? Well, you know, the Canadians inspired Americans to do ours. I went over to California and went all the way across the United States with the trucker convoy to Washington because it was inspired by Canadians. And then they had similar over in Europe inspired by the Canadians.
Right.
So when I was speaking yesterday to different members of the Diet here, their Congress, their Parliament, you know, this is what I said. I will bring Americans and Europeans over here so that you can spread your energy to Europe and America, right? Because the Japanese, many Japanese are starting to rise up. When 19,000 people show up for an event that had a maximum ceiling of 400, I mean, the energy is growing quite intensely and the world is seeing it, right?
So and let's go back to talking about the Panama Canal, the Darien Gap, what we need to know about that, because I don't think people understand how critical the Panama Canal is, Panama in general is, and what is going on there in Panama.
Yeah, Panama is another one of those vital pieces of terrain. Panama Canal opened in 1914. It's an amazing engineering feat. It's vital.
Isn't that when the Federal Reserve also was born in 1914?
There were a lot of things in 19. That whole decade was quite intense. Like, for instance, the Haber-Bosch process was unleashed. I shouldn't say unleashed. Let's say it was one of the most important chemical processes in the world is called the Haber-Bosch process, right? And it was unfurled in 1914. Part of the reasons why we have such a huge population growth now is because of the Haber-Bosch process. The Haber-Bosch process is named after two German chemists, Fritz Haber and Karl Bosch. I'm going somewhere important with this, especially with the famines and what's happening with these invasion flows, because it's all related. These are not separate matters. Like the death jab and all this, they are not separate. It's all under the war umbrella. Sorry about that. I hit the microphone. But the Haber-Bosch process, Fritz Haber in 1904, he published a book on thermodynamics in which he described, he thought you could take the hydrogen off of the nitrogen gas and combine it with nitrogen that we're breathing and make ammonia, right? And with that ammonia, you could make things like ammonium nitrate, explosives, and also incredible fertilizer. And the reason the Germans did this or were going in that direction is because people around the world were using fertilizer from bat guano and bird guano, right? And bird guano, guano is a very good fertilizer. In fact, there were wars fought over guano, but so you can make, you know, pretty incredible explosives and fertilizer out of guano, but we were starting to strangle down Germany on the guano. So their chemists, you know, the Germans have some serious scientists. They said, you know, Fritz Haber's like, maybe we can do this. So he did. And then in 1904, he published that book on thermodynamics. He described it. And then in 1908, he actually made a little bit. But it was very difficult to make it on a large scale. So that's when Karl Bosch came in, another German chemist. And he's like, hey, I can take this little thing and make it big. And they started that at BASF plant in Ludwigshafen, Germany. BASF plant is huge. It's the biggest chemical company in the world. It's on the Rhine River, which is like the Mississippi for Europe. And the Rhine River, the fertilizer, the nitrogenous fertilizers, they started making there in 1914, go down the Rhine River and out Rotterdam, which I was talking about earlier, right? So I went to BASF. Now, the natural gas feeding BASF came from Nord Stream from Russia to Germany, right? So I went.
The pipeline, Nord Stream pipeline.
That's right. So I went. So we know that the globalists are working hard to deindustrialize Germany. If you can deindustrialize Germany, you're deindustrializing Europe, period, right? While they flood them with invaders, right? Now, so BASF. So I went there twice with Misako Ganaha because we thought, hey, they're going to interrupt Nord Stream. Probably. That was a guess at that time. In fact, I had bought an iPad that I used to just watch the flows for Nord Stream because it would tell you how many cubic meters per second were going through, right? And there was a website where you could watch it. And I just would keep it there and I would watch the flows, you know? And so we went to BASF twice. And on the second trip, we were inside the plant. It's 10 square kilometers. It's massive, right? They don't make just nitrogenous fertilizers. They make thousands of other things. They're an amazing place. But I asked the guy giving us the tour, I said, what happens if Nord Stream gets interrupted, right? Keep in mind, everything was still flowing smoothly. And he said, we are dead, meaning BASF is dead. So anyway, one night I watched the flows go to zero, right? They went to zero on my screen. And I was like, I called some people and I said, hey, the flows look like they've gone to zero. Is this accurate? Then we turn on the TV and the natural gas is bubbling up from the sea. Somebody destroyed Nord Stream. Some of the members of parliament here in Japan asked me who I thought did it yesterday. And I said, it was either space aliens or the United States. I mean, it's obvious who did it, right? I mean, I thought that we were going to do it in advance. That's why I was at BASF. Now, last March, not March 2024, but March 2023, I was in Netherlands and I went to a place called Groningen. Groningen, Netherlands is the biggest gas field in Europe. And I started publishing. I think they're going to close Groningen. Now, again, naturally, people said, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I'm like, just stand by. And now it's closed. So now they've closed Nord Stream and they've closed Groningen and quite a lot of other things have happened, right?
Well, remember,
so
the nitrogenous Biden closed our pipeline day one after he took us, after he became president. Day one, he closed our pipeline to some of our gas. And then our oil just shot up through the roof. So they even are attacking our oil system here at home.
Now that's natural gas we're talking about, which, but the, all of let's blanket this under energy, but the natural gas is the natural gas is needed for making the nitrogenous fertilizers. And if you look at the graph of human population, it begins to explode at 1914, right? Now it's not just because of the nitrogenous fertilizers from Haber-Bosch process, but it's all the Panama Canal opened in 1914. Many other things: refrigeration, clean flowing water, running water, electricity. You know, many things, better medicines and that sort of thing. So now the population did begin to explode, and that created more demand for nitrogenous fertilizers. Now, if you were trying to create famine, I would do multiple things. One is I would cut off the natural gas flows to the point where that I wanted them, right? If I were put the evil hat on, play Dr. Evil, what would you do? I would start a war in Ukraine. I would get Israel going, right? Which is not difficult to do. I would look at the Strait that now, if the Panama Canal closes, watch the Suez Canal. They'll probably close that one too somehow, right? Which is not
and the Suez Canal, for people who don't know, it's in the Middle East. It's like Egypt and Israel, right? Right there next to Israel and Egypt.
Right. That's right. And now it is essentially closed for much of the traffic because of the war with Israel now. And you see the Houthis are using missiles that are made by Iran, and they are attacking ships, right? Nobody wants to get their ship sank. Nobody wants to ensure that. Now, those same missiles that Iran uses with the Houthis are also exported to Venezuela. Those same, and Venezuela is getting ginned up right now to go to war with Guyana right next door over energy. Now, those missiles in Venezuela could be used to shut Panama Canal, right? The Panama Canal is absolutely vital for American, our economy, right? I mean, it's literally an artery, right? And you cut the Panama Canal and Americans will feel it. Most Americans can't seem to find Panama on a map.
Right. But
that's like not being able to find your neck on a map. I mean, it's really important.
That's why I go there so much. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You need to tell us why it's so important, because so many people don't understand the importance of the Panama Canal and Panama. I mean, we used to have a military base there. I can't remember when they shut that down, but we
1999.
Okay, because Senator McCain was born there. I believe he was born at that base. So they shut it down. I don't think that was such a great idea, but the Panama Canal to me is a military place we could pass ships. I mean, if you think about it, otherwise they have to come all the way up. Well, I guess they could still deploy from Florida and Texas. But I don't know. I think it would be easier if they had a naval base in California and they needed to travel. They could go through the, I don't know. You're military. I'm not. I'm a civilian. I don't know what I'm, you know.
Well, there's the military side of it. And then there's the economic side, which obviously are very related. But we need the Panama Canal to be able to get our Navy back and forth quickly through the seas. But also a huge amount of our economy flows through the Panama Canal. It's a major artery, right? And it's easy to shut. Now, that base that you're talking about is Fort Clayton. I spend months at a time there, right? I mean, I was just there. I was just in Fort Clayton, and then I went up to Tennessee and went on with Tucker Carlson, which hasn't aired yet, and Sean Ryan. And then I went to Bahamas watching how they're doing similar in Bahamas. Bahamas, China has bought a port right off the coast of Florida, like, you know, 60, 70 miles off of Florida. They got a big container port. Look on Google Earth. You can see it. It's right off the coast of Florida, right? They're taking Bahamas and Antigua and other places. So anyway, back to Panama. Fort Clayton is right beside the Miraflores locks in the Panama Canal. Again, I'm there all the time. I'm extremely familiar with that area, right? In fact, all the NGOs, more than 60 of them, have offices or even headquarters in, it's called the City of Knowledge now, but it used to be Fort Clayton. Fort Clayton was the old U.S. Army South headquarters, right? Right beside the Miraflores locks, where we could guard those vital locks. Now, Carter gave it away, and in 1999, the deal was done. We gave it away with the keys and the doors, right? And now it's enemy. I mean, IOM, which is the International Organization for Migration, UNIOM, IOM, they are the main engine of the invasions, is IOM, right? They fly their flag at Fort Clayton, where our flag used to fly. You can see when you're standing at IOM headquarters, which I've done many times, it's the best headquarters, I would say, in all of Panama. It's building 101. Building 110 right there in the city of knowledge. Now they call it the Ciudad de Saber, the city of knowledge, at former Fort Clayton. The Miraflores locks are right in front of you. You literally watch the ships going back and forth right in front of you, right across the road and across the Panama Canal Railway. Panama Canal Railway is also very important. So they literally, the globalists, have seized our army headquarters. And it's there. There it is. That's my footage right there. The footage you're showing. You see that flag on the right? That's my footage.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's my footage from some months ago. And in fact, in the beginning, I kept that secret. I didn't show it to anybody because I was just showing it to people that were coming down, like Brett Weinstein. He came down with me, and Jordan Peterson. He did not come, but I made this footage so I could show them what I was going to show them. And so, but now I've released it. But you can see that blue flag was the IOM flag. That now behind, if you can show that again, the parade ground there in the background is where no telling how many military parades were had. And to the right,
right here,
that's the parade ground. I mean, I go in there and have coffee sometimes in that building right in front of you. And now this is where all the headquarters are. This is all of our enemy headquarters, right? Now, just to the right of this, you see that road by the flags. You just take a right and you go about 100 yards or less, maybe 70 yards. And that's where IOM headquarters is. IOM headquarters is just out of the screen on the right as we look at it, right? Yeah. And so, and right behind from where the drone is looking right here, right behind is the Panama Canal, right?
Wow. And so this picture is the Panama Canal. Wow.
Right behind the Panama Canal is, all you got to do is turn around and you're looking at ships right there in the Miraflores locks. The NGOs have taken that, right? We have given it to them. I mean, they haven't taken it. Jimmy Carter gave it to him. He's a globalist, right? Mm-hmm. And now China is working hard to move. In that photo that you showed, you can't see it, but I know where it's at. There is a Confucius Institute office, which is Chinese MS. Oh, yeah, it's in there. You can't see it in the I know where it's at because I'm down there all the time.
Yeah.
I walk around there all the time. I see that, you know, United Nations, this United Nations, that United. Okay. Anyway, but the bottom line is the United States. We've given away Panama. Right. I mean, it's gone.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break.
If you enjoy a good cup of coffee, you might try Freedom First Coffee, and they use the unique roasting process from the Victorian era. And First Roasters, which brings back the forgotten art of coffee roasting. Using these roasters, we roast only the finest beans, and it's perforated drums over an open flame, which caramelizes and the sugars when the fire comes into contact with the beans. And while this is an extremely tedious process, it creates the perfect coffee experience that cannot be duplicated. So pick up a bag today at freedomfirstcoffee.com. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And when you use promo code Amber, you're going to save money at checkout. So freedomfirstcoffee.com, use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey, this is Boone Cutler, and you're listening to the Amber May Show.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% US-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/AMBER. That's PatriotMobile.com/AMBER or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And I see with likewise with, I mean, I could go on for hours. But so we left Panama. I went up to Tennessee and went on with Tucker and that sort of thing. This is a Darien Gap. I made this footage. This is in the jungle. This is invaders coming down through the Darien Gap. They're helped by IOM and HIAS and others. HIAS is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Every time I say that, people say, oh, you're anti-Semite. And I'm like, listen, man, talk to the hand. Your magic wand doesn't work anymore. You know, call me anti-Semite. Call me anti-Jew by saying that HIAS does this. HIAS absolutely 100% does it. I have many videos that I made with my own hands that of HIAS helping Hezbollah and Chinese and others invade the United States. I have been this close to them doing it many, many times. They do it. They wear their little uniform, says HIAS. They've got their banners up, you know, and I've been to their office and that sort of thing. So the bottom line is
like the Catholic social charities. I mean, they're part of this problem too with immigration.
And Lutheran services, Catholic. I used to hit Catholic charities regularly. But then when we realized that Secretary Ali Mayorkas used to be a board member at HIAS and he was working to, well, you know, he went from HIAS to becoming director of Homeland Security, right? So and you can see them on HIAS.org congratulating him. They congratulate him. They congratulate Mayorkas for taking over. And so Mayorkas has been to Darien Gap, or in Darien province anyway. I was there when he came. I've got footage of it. I was physically present, right? That was in 2022, in April, I think April 18th, right? And he greatly increased the flow of the invasion. HIAS, you know, is right, their office down in the Darien, they got an office right there in that city of knowledge that you just showed. And it's unmarked actually, but we found it. I don't know why they have it unmarked up there, but down in the Darien, it's marked. Actually, they unmarked it in Darien a couple months ago after we started giving them so much bad press. You know what's interesting is Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, and all that clown group, they will not denounce HIAS. Why not? Why will Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro not denounce the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, who is invading the United States with literally with Hezbollah, right? While we see the war unfolding there with Israel and its collective enemy set, right? Many of whom are Hezbollah, right? We literally, Hezbollah, listen, Venezuela is obviously at the north of South America there. They have a very close relationship with Iran, China, and Russia. Iranians land in Venezuela every day and they're given new passports, Venezuelan passports. So you can come to Venezuela and get a new passport. And you know, Iranians look very similar to a lot of people in South America. They can fade right in. Actually, a lot of Hezbollah in Venezuela speak Spanish.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And so
Spanish, yep.
Yeah, and so there's the people don't get this. They don't realize how intermingled everything is.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code AMBER, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had to cut it. Like the sliver, I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate and it's very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AMBERMAY at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com,
Remember, promo code AMBER at checkout.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.